here it is, Thanksgiving Day. You know, this is one of our favorite holidays. Kids love Thanksgiving because they get a day off from school. Adults also love Thanksgiving because in many cases, you get a day off from work. Of course, unless you're one of the people who spends half the day in the kitchen preparing the Thanksgiving meal. Now, besides getting a day off, we also love all the wonderful food. The turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, the pumpkin pie, and of course the several days of turkey leftovers that follow. On top of that, Thanksgiving is a time to get together with family and friends, some whom we have not seen for months or maybe even years. People will travel hundreds of miles and spend hundreds of dollars just to be with loved ones during this holiday. Finally, the day after Thanksgiving, as you know, just happens to be the biggest shopping day of the year. And that fact causes merchants to give endless thanks. So, who came up with the idea of a national Thanksgiving holiday anyway? Well, most of you probably remember the story about the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock on December 11th, 1620. You might remember that they had a very, very hard winter. In fact, out of the original 102 pilgrims, 46 of them had died over the course of that harsh winter. But then the spring of 1621 gave the pilgrims who remained a bountiful harvest. And so they celebrated with a day of Thanksgiving. In fact, even racial boundaries were pushed over when they invited the local natives who had helped them through the winter. However, that first Thanksgiving was a local event, and it did not continue on an annual basis for quite some time. Now, the next closest thing to a national Thanksgiving Day took place in 1777, when the 13 colonies celebrated their victory over the British at Saratoga. And then later on, in 1789, George Washington declared a national day of Thanksgiving. But due to inner discord among the 13 colonies, not all of them supported this national day. Well, years later, in 1863, President Lincoln declared that the last Thursday of November should be a national day of Thanksgiving. And then finally, years after that, in 1941, Congress made Thanksgiving a legal holiday, a decision for which federal employees are very thankful. Well, now you know the origin of our national Thanksgiving Day. But what about the origin of giving thanks? I mean, who gave us the idea that we should give thanks at all? Well, Holy Scripture teaches us that God has always wanted us to give thanks. For example, in our reading from Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now please understand, Paul is not saying that we have no reason to be anxious in this world. I'm sure there are many of you out there who have gone through things in life that readily cause one to be anxious. Paul isn't saying that we don't have any reason to be anxious. What he's saying is that we should not try to bear that burden on our own as though we're in control of our lives. Instead, we should bring our anxiety to God and give it to Him. We should come to Him with our prayers and requests. But then Paul adds, whatever your situation may be, pray to God with thanksgiving. Now, what does Paul mean when he says that all our prayers should be offered with thanksgiving? What is thanksgiving, and why do we do it? Well, before we get the answer from God's Word, allow me to take a little time to tell you about what thanksgiving is not. I'm going to discuss three errors regarding thanksgiving that are sadly very common today. The first error I like to call, just give thanks. You know, all over our society we hear that on this day we should give thanks. But they never seem to finish the sentence with a direct object. In other words, give thanks to whom? Of course, the assumption is that we give thanks to God, who gives us all things, but if that's the case, then why is God's name so often not even mentioned? Sadly, more and more people in our culture want to leave God out of the picture. Why? Well, one reason might be that if you give thanks to God, then you might feel obligated to acknowledge Him in other aspects of your life as well. I guess it's just easier to leave God out of the picture. So, our culture simply tells us to be thankful and to give thanks. But it doesn't get any more specific than that. And you know, even we Christians who ought to know better, even we are guilty of this sin of omission when we tell each other to be thankful without ever mentioning God. Now the second error I call, give thanks to God. So what's wrong with that, you ask? I mean, didn't I just say that we should give thanks to God? We should mention His name? Yes, I did. But as Christians, we know that there is only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we live in a culture where people don't want to hear that there is only one true God. Instead, people want to create God in their own image. You see, we live in a culture where it's good to be religious, it's good to be spiritual, it's good to give thanks to God, but we never seem to get around to defining who or what God is. And my friends, this is a sin. It's a sin because if we give thanks to any God other than the one true God, then we are giving thanks to a false God, an idol of our own making. In addition, this error can also tempt us to thank our false gods for things that the true God says are evil. Think about it. Have you ever thanked God for something that doesn't even belong in your life because the true God says it's a sin? For example, let's say there's a person you hate who goes through a hard time and you catch yourself saying, "Thank God, he's finally getting what he deserves." Or I remember a man I once met who seduced a woman who was married to another man, and his response was, "Thank God, I finally had my way with her." And then, of course, there's the teenager who gets away with shoplifting, and she says, "Thank God, I didn't get caught." I'm afraid that if we examine our lives, we may find that we're all guilty of thanking our false gods for evil things in our lives. Finally, the third error I like to call, God loves me because I'm thankful. You know, there are many people who know there is only one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are many people who know that only this true God gives us all things. There are many people who know that we should not thank God for evil choices that we make. And there are many people who know that we ought to thank God for all the good things in our lives. However, the devil tempts us to believe that thanksgiving is a moral attitude in us that impresses God and convinces him that we are worthy of even more blessing. You see, as sinners, we want to believe that God answers our prayers because we are so incredibly thankful, as though our act of thanksgiving makes us worthy of God's love. My friends, when we think of thanksgiving as a duty we perform to impress God, then we are guilty of great sin. In fact, having this attitude about thanksgiving can even lead us to become very bitter with God when he doesn't give us the good things that we think we deserve. Think about it. We're willing to thank God for the good things in our lives. But when God decides to give us trial and suffering, we don't want to give thanks then. In fact, we're even tempted to accuse God of evil. My friends, we are guilty of putting conditions on God when we thank him only for the good things. Do you remember the book of Job? Our first reading was from the first chapter of Job. If you read that book, you find out that God allows the devil to take everything away from Job. His children, his health, his wealth. Now at one point, Job's wife says to him, "Job, just curse God and die." Job then responds, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" You know, we're all guilty of being foolish when it comes to the true meaning of thanksgiving. In fact, even Job eventually became angry with God, and that's why at the end of the book we find out that he repents in dust and ashes. But my friends, the good news I have for you today is that God forgave Job for his sinful foolishness. And this same merciful God also forgives you for the times that you are guilty of the three errors of thanksgiving that I discussed. The reason we give thanks to the one true God is that he has given his Son to wash away our sins. And as this mercy transforms our hearts, we learn that we thank God in all things, even when he blesses us with suffering and trial. For example, when we look at Job's life before the difficulties came, it appears as though God had blessed him mightily. Job had wealth, Job had health, Job had a wonderful family. But then God took it all away. Does that mean that Job was no longer blessed? Hardly. You see, during such times when God brings trial and loss into our life, during such times the devil wants us to think that God has removed his blessing from us. During such times the devil wants us to curse God as though God were being evil. But the Holy Spirit moves us to confess with Job, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now please understand, when Job uttered those words, he was not in despair, resigning himself to the fact that God hated him and had abandoned him. No. You see, even though I'm sure Job was very depressed and I'm sure the tears were running down his face, nevertheless, Job's confession of faith shows that he trusted in God's love for him, even though it seemed that God hated him. In fact, if you read on in the book of Job, the Holy Spirit also moves him to make this other wonderful confession of faith. Job says, "If God slay me, yet will I trust in him." You see, Job understood that God had promised to send Jesus as the Savior of all sinners. And this is the true blessing that is always there for us, even when everything in this world is taken away. That's why Job could say, "If God slay me, yet will I trust in him." Think about it. God crucified his own Son for your sin and mine. But even while his Father was damning him for your sin and mine, Jesus prayed this prayer: "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." It's hard to understand, but even on the cross, Jesus knew that his Father loved him, even though it was his Father who put him there. The Father who gave his Son to save you and me from hell, this Father will not forsake you. That's why all our prayers are offered with thanksgiving. Because of Christ's death and resurrection for us, we are able to see all things as signs that God loves us. In our gospel reading, Jesus teaches us not to live like unbelievers. He tells us not to worry about food or drink or clothes. Now, at first we might think it's odd that anybody would worry about that at all. I mean, we have plenty of food. We never have to worry about that, do we? Water, you just turn a handle and you got it. Why worry about that? Clothes, most of us have closets full that we never wear. Why worry about clothes? But you have to remember, in our modern society where we have so much, things have not always been that way. In Jesus' day, food was very hard to come by. You couldn't just run to Hugo's or County Market. You had to grow it. And if you didn't have a good harvest, things were not well for you. Remember the pilgrims who died during the winter of 1620? Food was hard to come by. People did worry about where they would get their next meal. And how about water to drink? Well, we can often take for granted the clean water that we have, but in Jesus' day, clean water was very hard to come by. They didn't have water treatment plants back then, as many third world countries today don't have clean water that we so often take for granted. People did worry about where they were going to get enough water just to quench their thirst. Water that was not filled with disease that would kill them. And finally, clothes. Clothes were hard to come by in Jesus' day. They had to be made from scratch, usually knit together and woven. They didn't have factories back then that produced tons of different clothes by the multitude. In fact, if you had one set of clothes to wear in Jesus' day, you were fortunate. And some people didn't even have that. And when the nights became cold, not having a set of warm clothes could make one worry quite a bit. And so in that context, you can understand why people were worrying about food and drink and clothes. They were not easy things to come by. That helps us see how we so often take things for granted. But in the midst of that situation, Jesus tells us not to live like unbelievers. What he means is, don't run around as though the only thing you need is food and drink and clothes. Don't run around as though you're the only one who can acquire these things for yourself and there's no one watching over you. Instead, Jesus says, first of all, that God knows that you need these things. God knows that you need food. God knows that you need water. God knows that you need clothes. And in North Dakota during the winter, God knows that you need a warm place to live. God knows we need these things, and he does provide for us. I think if all of us here today counted the days of our lives, I think most of us would have to admit that the days that we had food to eat greatly outnumber the days that we went without food. In fact, I think it's safe to say that there's no one here who has ever gone a day without any food at all. God does provide for us, even though we don't deserve it. But remember what Jesus said? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, our true need is not food, clothing, drink, or all the other modern trivialities that we think we need. Instead, our real need is Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the love of God, and the hope of eternal life. My friends, God knows that we have needs and He will provide for us. But even when God in His wisdom does not provide for our earthly needs, even when God takes away the things and the people that we love so much, even then, we still give thanks. We give thanks because God loves us. We give thanks because we still have Jesus. My friends, no matter what you face in this life, you can know that your sins are forgiven and that you have the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life with God. My friends, sometimes God does take away our earthly things, but He only does this so that we can remember what we truly need. That's why we give thanks. My friends, as you leave this place today, whether you eat here or eat at home, the next time you have a drink of water and put on your clothes and sleep in your warm bed at night, remember how merciful God is. Because even though we don't deserve any of these things, God still gives us food, clothing, a home, health, family, and friends. We are incredibly blessed. But I also want you to remember that even if God takes all these things away, you are still blessed because you still have Jesus. That's why we give thanks. My 8-year-old daughter, Christiana, recently did this art project at her school. The cover says, "I am thankful for," and she drew 3 pictures in the book. The first picture is about 2 of her pets, Tukey the lovebird and Sunset the hamster. It says, "I'm thankful for my bird, Tukey, and my hamster, Sunset." The next picture is of our family. There's Christiana and her brother Joshua, her older sister Brigida, her mother Andrea, and me. And she says, "I'm thankful for my family." I'm also thankful that her picture of me looks about 50 pounds lighter than I really am. But then there's this third and final picture. It's a picture of the cross with green grass and flowers blooming, with the sun shining on the cross. And then on the bottom she wrote these words, "I am thankful for a life after this one." My friends, today and every day we should thank God for all the earthly blessings He gives us. But we should also thank God for our trials, because He also promises to use those to bless us. But most of all, above all things, we should thank God for Jesus and the life He gives us after this one. Amen.